I'd like to adjust your joke just a minute to say that I'm not an old goat. I'm a young goat. That's the way I look at it. Also want to introduce somebody who's here that is part of a wonderful family. I always tell them they have steel reserve. And terrific, terrific folks. And their son Dan is here today. Many of you probably remember him. And so I want him to stand so we can acknowledge him and say it's great to see you. Now, you like your dad and you don't like attention? I don't know. I didn't ask ahead of time, but it's great to see you. Okay. How many have ever been in a bank and somebody came in and said, "Hands up!" Ever had that? Hope not. Because when that happens, people tend to lose their valuables. Some people tend to lose their lives if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, kind of unlike our dad, who years ago, when, I don't know, I was in Bible school or doing something, and preaching in, of course, the church we were in, raised hands more than we do here. I mean, just all over the place. Sign of surrender. So my dad says one time, he says, you know, hands went up, hands went down, offering plate went around. He goes, "I thought I was in a stick-up." He goes, which I thought was hilarious, and I told the story at his funeral because I thought it was just hilarious. There we are at the cemetery, supposed to be crying, and we're all laughing. But it worked out great, as far as that goes. But if you're in a bank and they say, "Hands up," boy, you better put your hands up, I guess, because they're speaking through a barrel, probably. Why is it hard for us to surrender and put our hands up for the Lord? Why is that difficult? That's not the message, that's just an opinion. But I'm going to talk today about a story. When the hands went up, the enemy and his power went down. You remember the story in Exodus of Moses. So we're going to stand to honor the word of God. Exodus 17, 11 to 15. And as long, they figured something out here when they were coming to fight the Amalekites. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from heaven, from under heaven." And Moses built an altar, and he called it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." You may be seated. Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And you remember Esau, the older twin. I love to remind my sister of that. The elder will serve the younger. My favorite verse. Can't help it. The Amalekites were the first to attack the fledgling people of Israel as they were to go into the promise that God had given them. Did you know that there's an enemy out there who wants to keep you from the promises of God? Now, I'm not saying our promises, I'm saying the promises of God. But you know what? He cannot keep us from God's promises. He doesn't have the power to do that. What he does do is he has the power to remind us, you're not there yet, or to have us focus on a problem or focus on a situation. And we get so discouraged, what happens? People give up. Do you realize how short and how close we are to that place of God's blessing, and people give up? You can almost taste the jewel of God's presence. And then, I'm weary of it. Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, which means when God's ready, you will reap. If you faint not. Now, we do get faint-hearted on occasion, but that's why we need to go to the Lord. Keep our strength in him, right? Don't yield. Only to God. Don't yield to the circumstances. Don't yield to the enemy. Don't yield to any fear. Don't yield to those things. Yield only to the lordship and sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Because in this story, if you remember, they had just come out of being without water. And when you're in the wilderness, we need water where we are. But when you're in the wilderness, you especially need it, right? And they were grumbling and complaining, and I always loved this attitude. Well, we'd rather be in Egypt. Let's go back. At least we had water. That's like saying you're in the middle of ISIS and going, you know, I'd rather be with them. Not really, but when you're starving or feeling like you're thirsting, it's easy to change your opinion, and you think you're better off where you were, but you're not. You're not. You're never in a good place unless you're in God's place. And so what happened? This wonderful occurrence, the Lord told Moses, strike the rock. In fact, the Lord went ahead of him and stood on the rock and said, I'm here. I'm standing on it. I'm not going to do the message on theophany, but that's what this is. The Lord came and stood in presence. And then the water came out of the rock. Not out of a faucet, out of a hard substance. Only God can do that. And only God can bring something out of nothing. How many are glad about that? So, we'll do the word study first. In this story, they had to first of all recognize the source of defeat. This reminds me of back in the old days, how many used to watch the ABC Wonderful World of Sports. And their entrance, and when they began it, they talk about, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And they'd always show the guy coming off the luge and just, whoosh, I don't know where he went. I have no idea. I hope he was well, but he looked like he hurt to me. And then I thought, it's the agony of defeat. Because if we're not, I knew someone's going to catch it. If we're not standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we're going to get a lot more bumps and bruises. Stand in his stead. And so here, they had to recognize the source of defeat was when Moses' hands came down. And this was for the entire Israeli army. You know, one person can make a difference. Do you know that? It's true. And so, he's lost some stamina. So, why? Is it just that his hands are down and he's not looking like the choir director? No, he's holding the staff of God in his hand, in both of his hands. The same one God told him put over the Red Sea. The authority of God, he's holding it. How many know there's great weight in carrying the authority of the Word of God? If you lead Bible studies, when you're testifying to people, teaching, preaching, whatever you may be doing, or even singing for the glory of God, that is a ministry that has weight to it, as does witnessing and sharing. And the biggest one of all, guess what? Prayer. Now, we don't have a problem giving God our litany and list of everything we want done. That's easy to do. But to wait upon the Lord and intercede for the souls of people, that is weight. That's heavy. because God doesn't only always allow us to be done in 5 minutes. You know, we always have a time clock. Boy, I've been praying a long time, and it's like a minute. But it seems like eternity. Well, that's because it affects eternity. But nonetheless, there's a great spiritual weight in ministry. And if you don't know that, you'll find out. But I can guarantee you that's what's there. And when you're holding something up and your arms start getting very weak and the victory is being lost because you can't keep your hands up, you feel very bad, right? Moses would feel very bad. So I'm glad the people around him didn't sit there and go, duh. They went and assisted him. So the scripture says, when he held up his hands, and the Hebrew word pronounced room means to be high or exalted and to rise up. And I love the pronunciation here of room. Do you know that when you lift your hands up, and this can mean in worship, in praise? Remember the word praise. Do you know what word is in there? Raise. You raise yourself up because you're focusing on him and he can lift you up. If your child comes up to you and they go like this, they probably want to be lifted up. Usually. So it means that in worship and in surrender to God. Now, when we come to Christ, we come through a narrow place because we come through the cross. We have to come through a narrow. There's no other way. But once we get through that gate, once we come into our relationship to Christ, guess what? It's a big, wide room of worship, of presence, of getting to know Christ, of serving him. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that you come into a wide space of worship. God doesn't give us just a little place. He gives us an expanse. And I wonder how much of that expanse we're missing because we're not really worshiping him. So, they held up. When his hands were held up, he had a mighty big room. And then they prevailed. The Hebrew word means to be strong and mighty. To be strong and mighty. Where's the authority here? It's in the staff. It's in the instrument of God. That's where the authority is. And let me tell you something else. Don't mess with the instrument. You know where people go foul? God gives them an authority to do the work, and then they take that instrument and they start messing with it. And they start saying stuff like, well, the cross isn't real. We don't need the blood anymore. You know, God's not really personal. Man, they mishandle the word of God and the authority of God. They're really in trouble. Do not follow anyone like that. The Bible says his hands were heavy. That word means to be burdened and to be weary. You know why God allows us to get weary and burdened? To remind us that it's not in us to do it. We need him to do it. If you think that you can win a soul without the intervention of God, that's a debate. You can win their mind, but you'll never win their soul because it belongs to Jesus Christ. And so sometimes the Lord allows us to feel that weight and go, oh, I just can't do this. You're right, you can't. Just admit it and have it over with. Let the Lord have his way. And so they took a stone, which basically is used as a seat cushion here. And it comes from a root word that means to build. Do you know the Lord builds upon stones? The New Testament calls us lively stones. You ever seen a stone call out or speak? If you do, let me know. We'll be praying for you. But the Bible calls us lively stones. We're alive. And you know what happens when you start putting stones together to build something? You rub up against each other. That's why we need the mortar. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need God's presence. Right? You ever butted up against anyone in this church? You don't have to tell me. But I can see it on your face. Well, that's okay. Just take them to the Lord in prayer. Hey, you know, we'll be praying more if we do that. Don't let it get in the way. Let it be a bridge to take us closer to Jesus. That's what we should be doing. And so he said they took a stone and they had him sit down. I remember the old preacher, his name was C.W. Ward. He was a fabulous preacher. And by this time, he was well advanced in age and many medical problems. And some people had a problem because he got up and he sat on a stool to preach. Who cares? He's preaching. The word is the focus. Is it better that he stands and falls in front of you? No, it's better that he sits, if it's better for him. But when you sit in the Hebrew, and just in the idea in the scripture, first of all, it's the posture of a teacher. Secondly, it's the posture of being finished. When God was finished, he sat down. Okay? It's a statement that says, I am at the feet of Jesus. That's what it means to be seated. And the Hebrew word means to sit, to remain, and to dwell. You know, it isn't just to sit down and go plunk. Like if you came to someone's house, if they invite the old goat over or anything like that, and you just sit down where you're planted, you like to wait for an invitation. And then you like to sit where they ask you to sit. We knew somebody that if you sat in his chair, I mean, you were thrown out the door. Not kidding you. Don't sit in his chair. Okay, don't sit in his house. But nonetheless, here they have him sit down to help him. But always and ever to keep the hands up. The hands have to stay up because the authority has to be up. And his hands became steady. That word means to be firm, steadfast. And it has the idea of fidelity in there. Folks, if you're not faithful to Jesus Christ, you will not be faithful to nothing. He is the one that we should be faithful to because he's been faithful to us, hasn't he? And the Bible says at the end of it, which they did a lot in the Old Testament, when God really did a work, they built an altar there. Do you know what our lives are supposed to be? An altar. So that when people see us, they go, I've seen this work in Dennis. I can see it. He's a living altar of a sacrifice before the presence of God. It's actually a wonderful testimony to God. And they built this altar, and they called it, the Lord is my banner. It's one of the great, great divine names of God, Jehovah Nissi. And it means a standard, an ensign, a signal, and a sign, and it's a rallying point. When the Lord's church is brought together in worship and service for him, there's one rally point, and what's that? The Word of God. That's the standard, folks. That's the only standard. You never adjust it. You never demean it. And what bothers me more than anything is when people use all the other resources in the world and the Bible is a footnote. The Bible is the book. It's not a footnote. Everything else should be subject to that. And so what we have here are two people that took the bull by the horns and came up and helped Moses. Now, Moses was a very formidable person, but God spoke to two people here. He had them come and to take him on either side. First one was Aaron, Moses' older brother. He was not raised in the royal court like Moses was, but he did become a spokesman for Moses before Pharaoh. Remember, because Moses did what? He stuttered. I don't think he sang as well as Mel Tillis, but at any rate, he stuttered. And Aaron became his spokesman. And Aaron also, according to the scripture, becomes the first high priest to intercede for the needs of the people before a holy God. Wonderful story. So we start on the one side of lifting up Moses and keeping his arms up, do you know what does it? The priesthood, the high priesthood. Guess who's the high priest? Jesus. And guess what? He's alive. He's still alive. He's interceding for us right now. And he knows your name. And he knows everything about you. And he's interceding at the right hand of the Father. I can't think of anything more glorious personally. But in that high priesthood, there's also a priesthood of believers. And the Bible says you are a royal priesthood. And here's one of my favorite phrases. You are a peculiar people. You know, when they come to Living Springs, they know we're a peculiar people. That's okay. I think it's wonderful. The priesthood. You know what that means, folks? That means on the one side, you have the people, you have the high priest interceding, you have Jesus, but you also have the priesthood who is working and serving the Lord. And that helps to build up that word and that standard. And when you have a people as many in the Israelite army, you have a lot of issues and a lot of problems, right? And you have an enemy that's coming after them. One hand up, two hands up, the devil's finished. The enemy is done. Do you know you have the power in the name of Jesus to affect that victory for this church, for your lives? But I think too often we spend too much time focusing on the problem and not enough on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Worshiping him. I can tell you one thing. The devil doesn't care if you're complaining. He likes that. He feels comfortable there. But he does not want anybody to worship the Lamb. He absolutely does not. And I can guarantee you he doesn't want the Church of Jesus Christ to work together to be in unity either. Because he breeds contempt and absolute destruction. All he wants is people to be separated and frayed and families to be broken and all of that. He gets a real kick out of that. So, the one who stood on the rock, the theophany, Jesus Christ himself, is the main one that brings us through every circumstance. There are things that God has kept you from that you'll never know until eternity. And that's something to keep in mind. Second one was Hur, and this was a companion of Moses and Aaron. This is a law first mention of Hur in the Bible. He was from the tribe of Judah. And if you remember, when Moses went up into Mount Sinai, he was along with Aaron. They were left in charge. So he had a real presence here. He is the grandfather of the man who was the principal creator of the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. So on the one hand, you have Aaron in the high priesthood. On the other hand, you have the symbol of the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, which is the service of the people of God. And what is the Ark of Covenant? That is the covenant between God and his people. That is Jesus. And it gives us a full account in the scripture. I'm going to do a teaching on it. I love the tabernacle. But you know something about a tabernacle? It's a temporary tent. It's a temporary dwelling. The Bible said in John, and Jesus came and tabernacled among us. It was a temporary situation unto an eternal goal. That's why the Bible calls us a temple. He doesn't call the church a tabernacle. It's not meant to be temporary. It's meant to be eternal. You are at the temple of who? The Holy Spirit. If you put your shingle out there, you say, God lives here through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we indicate who Jesus is by how we live. And so they lifted up his hands, and the victory was won. No question about it. They lifted up the staff, which basically is a rod, the rod of God. And there's one Hebrew word I didn't put in here, but it's the idea of the wood, because it's a branch that is made from a branch. What branch do you think is the standard? The cross. Okay, the cross is the standard. Jesus Christ, who was on it, is the full focus. There's no question about it. So we need to recognize the power in that authority. And in our digital age, how many of you, if all your power went out, you'd be able to tell the time because it's digital for you? Do you know a lot of students don't know how to tell time? They don't know how to count because the computer does it for them? Which I think is a shame. I think they should have a backup. But at any rate, when you switch that power source on, it affects everything you do and everything you say. Now, the reason I was thinking about this portion of Scripture is this. I would say predominantly over the last year, it's been coming on and off and etc. But there's been a real battle for the lives of the people in this church. And I can almost see in the spirit darts that are just being whooshed, whooshed, just trying to take people out of their faith. Take people out of their focus. And it's been not just a little bit. It's been targeted. It's been absolute. And it's been ferocious. Now, we all know spiritually, I hope you know, that the only time the devil does anything is when he knows God is working. Okay? Devil doesn't work in the scripture unless he knows God's there. He doesn't waste his time. First of all, if you're not saved, he's already got you. And number two, if you are saved, then he tries to undo it. Get you to give up your trust and your hope in Christ. Now, this is a very loving, wonderful church. And I sing your praises all the time. But even we, for each other, cannot do what God can do corporately in one moment. That is why we need to be in prayer for each other, for me, and I never ask for anything, okay, but I will ask for prayer, and for the board. We try to have an invisible board here at the church because they don't like to be known, but they need to be known on high. Their name needs to be before the presence of God. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because that's where the name should be, right? And as we focus with our hands up and our eyes up and God lifts us up, the victory will be won for the church. What does God want us to do as a church? The devil's trying awful hard not to let us know that, because we're spending a lot of our time, and it's understandable because you can't ignore things, with this situation that's massive, and this situation that's massive, and this situation that's massive. And it seems to me, when I think about a lot of it, he's really targeting a lot of the prayer warriors. Bing, bang, boom. Which is actually a compliment, but it doesn't feel like one. Can we covenant to be part of that priesthood that intercedes every day and is the tabernacle in the Ark of the Covenant, in the very presence of God where the mercy seat dwells and God forgives and restores? I hope so, because I believe very strongly prayer is not something we do. It is the work itself. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. I know that we all pray for ourselves, mostly, and that's fine. We need to come before the Lord and be confident we can come into his presence. Boldly come in, and that's wonderful. But there are moments in time, and I believe this is one of those. This church is being harassed significantly. People that are not here because the enemy is trying to disrupt lives and cause panic and difficulty that we don't have an answer for, but God does, because he's the answer. I'm asking you to come to the mountain on behalf of the pastor, the board, and the leadership of this church. Very honestly, if you have any issues with any of us, please come privately and say something so we can get anything out of the way that might be there, if it is, because that'll stop the power of God too. Heavenly Father, I come before you so grateful that when Moses had this situation with the people and you came and you showed up and you showed off, like Dixie says, and you stood on that rock. You came in theophany. You came in person, as you said, to strike that rock. Lord, you're the rock of ages. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will smite the enemy on our behalf as a church and as individuals and as families and whatever the circumstances may be. You are the Lord Almighty, and we trust you for that. And I pray, Father, that you would lift, Lord, any warfare that is upon any family and any life and upon this church and the property or anything, Father, just based on lifting it up to you. Lord Jesus, you are the glory and the lifter up of our head, the Bible says. Lord Jesus, and so we seek to lift to you. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, would you covenant and say, I will pray. I'll be one on either side to say, Lord, lift up this church. Lift up God's glory. Whatever it takes, whatever God wants to do, we want to be there. And we know that he'll take care of our life because that's how God does things. We take care of his house, he takes care of ours. And you're here and you'd say, I will do that. I will raise my hand so I know who is praying. In particular, okay. Our Heavenly Father, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, as the prayers ascend, as the lifting up of our soul goes forth, I pray that people would be healed immediately. I pray that lives would be restored immediately. I pray that finances would be restored immediately. I pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, unforgiveness would be ripped away and forgiveness would flow. Lord, I pray that the minds of your people would be healed and restored. Memories that have consistently brought pain and affliction would no longer have that power. Lord Jesus, and that you would do what we cannot do. Lord Jesus, and we leave it solely in your hands as we lift up ours, Father God, to lift up each other and to lift up in the families. Lord, for the families to lift up, Lord, parents and those that are leading the home, Father God. We can't complain about people we don't pray for. Lord, I pray that you would make us a praying people. Lord Jesus, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd honor your word, Father, by your presence and by all the things that you alone can do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to take the second offering for Nepal. Please put in, if you're writing a check, make it out to the church and just put in the memo that it is for Nepal. N-E-P-A-L. You're all settled, you may stand. Onward, Christian soldiers. How many are glad we're not walking in circles? But the Lord is the leader. He's the guide. I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come up and to close in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the victory that we have in our resurrected Christ, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Let us go forth filled with your power, with your Holy Spirit, to shine for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.